Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 328 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, John back here. Say,
never.
I assume things are good, mate.
Yeah, all good. And I think I've learnt my lesson here is that I am the inspiration for Anton Stack.
Yeah. We'll just, you know what? I'll scroll down the notes. We'll get straight to that bit because there's quite a bit. But there's a bit. We'll talk about other discourse among the fan base later on. But I have a note. It says, discourse among this podcast. KC, you were going early on Anton Stack not being very good. Any change?
Yeah, he's all right, isn't he? He's a solid player.
Yeah. Obviously, I watched the game with a couple of beers, not like the Arsenal game where you couldn't take my opinion seriously at all because I was properly drunk. This one, a couple of drinks. Casey, can you remember exactly what it was you said before that free kick?
I believe it was, if he doesn't score this, I'm done with him.
It was that. And then you said, but on the other hand, if he scores it, I'll just have to back down and say he's the best player in the world. So, what do you think of Anton Stack, Casey?
Yeah, he's probably the best player in the world, isn't he?
Yeah, cool.
Over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, and he very much contributed to our 3-1 win at Wolves. We'll get the Wolves goal out of the way first. We pulled it apart like mad in the pub, and everyone else did. I do feel as if we'd scored that goal, we'd be talking about what good football it was. You know, laying it off, good third man run from deep, quite well timed. But there were a couple of things from a Leeds point of view that weren't very good. Longstaff just seemed to switch off for half a second, and that's enough in the Premier League. Because he was chasing his man, trying to get there, and he was just short. That was a bit annoying. But I was more annoyed with Okafor in the build-up. It's not so much that he gave the ball away, because if you try and beat your man 15 times and a half or whatever it was, there was a stat floating around on Twitter. It was the most attempted take-ons in a half, like borderline ever. You're going to lose it sometimes. It was more that he then, I won't even say tore ours around. He like threw himself at a ball that he was never going to get to and then stayed on the floor.
And like, Yeah,
it was a bit annoying. But like overall, Okafor was, it's so weird. Okafor was always doing the right things in the game. And for about 40 minutes, most of them I didn't think were coming off. And then they started coming off and we got a goal out of it. But yeah, it was a bit of a poor goal from the Leeds point of view.
Yeah, I think when I watched it back, I don't know if Longstaff has that half second of thinking that he can intercept the pass. Mm. And that's kind of what makes him stop. But kind of that brief stop just leaves him in no man's land, really. And he's not able to block the pass, can't stop the runner who's just got acres of space in the middle. It was, like I said, I think it was frustrating. The stuff with Okafor, like you say, he's going to lose the ball a lot because of the type of player he is.
Yeah.
I think the only thing for us is that you kind of, there's just part you want to be out of possession, like just be a bit more sensible.
Yeah, the way that he played in this game, it's probably exactly what you want from your winger against Wolves. And it'll be the same against West Ham and against Burnley. You probably don't want it when you're playing the really good teams. Because he won't get 15 chances to run at his man. He'll probably only get 5.
Hmm.
And if you will have to be better at keeping possession in those areas when it's backs to the wall games. But this one wasn't. So it was exactly the sort of thing you need out of him. The good thing is, once we went behind, for the rest of that first half, I thought we were pretty dominant, to be honest. It wasn't like we weren't ripping them to shreds and creating loads of amazing chances, but I just thought we looked a bit more like last season Leeds to an extent. There was a lot more pressing. We won the ball better. Instead of committing like only 3 men forward in attacks, it wasn't 7 like it was in the Championship, but there was more men going forward, a lot more commitment to trying to score a goal. I do think that Farke has said to him before this game, right, this one is a game we target. Like, there's only so many games that you want to win every game, but you're not going to. This is one of the more realistic chances to win a game, and I think that they targeted it as such.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think it was quite nice as seeing, I think, more time where you had Stack was getting closer to Calvert-Lewin, sort of Longstaff a bit further up the pitch. So, and I suppose when you've got someone like Ampadu there, you can take those risks. You know he's going to sit deep anyway.
And with the way Wolves were sat as well, like they weren't just sat in a low block or anything, but three at the back, and the two midfielders aren't overly attacking either. You can afford to put, we said it in the preview, but you can afford to push on a bit more just because they don't have that many bodies upfield.
Yeah, so like you say, it was quite nice to see us, and whether that goal was sort of a bit of a wake up for us, because I do think before that Wolves were, again, not there weren't many good chances or anything like that, but I thought Wolves were looking the more dominant of the two up to the goal. And I don't know if
the good thing is that is only 8 minutes.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we kind of, it almost felt like a bit of a wake up for them. And like I say, whether it was the plan that while ever it's 0-0, we can be a little bit more standoffish. Mm. And then once we went behind, then we start to press them a little bit more. I don't know, but it certainly felt like probably the last 20 minutes of the half. Certainly, I thought we were much more proactive in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, that's where the actual goals came and everything. But there is one thing with games that in theory are fairly tight, like this one. A good 20 minutes can win you them, and it's always the same in close games. And we had that good. We were probably good for longer than 20 minutes, but that 20 minutes in particular really did it. Obviously, the first goal, Bogle cross from deep, takes a bit of a deflection, which I didn't really, although he got one on fantasy football, apparently the Premier League hasn't given him an assist for that because of the deflection, which seems mental to me. But yeah, it turns into a more looping ball, which is much more difficult for a defender to intercept. But the header from Calvert-Lewin, every time you watch it, it gets a better header. Because there's not much pace on it, and he's got it right in the, you know, right by the post. It's a really good header. And the sort of goal that we haven't seen from Leeds centre-forwards very often over the last few years.
Yeah, it's not the sort of goal you see Joe Pirou scoring, really, is it? It's a weird one. I imagine now, looking back, if you're a Wolves fan and you see how long the ball is in the air for, I think you'd be disappointed that there's not been more of a challenge made to stop Calvert-Lewin winning that. Because Calvert-Lewin just creates that half yard, he gives himself a little bit of distance from the defender, and like you say, just directs it so well. Jose Sarr just can't get anywhere near it. It's a fantastic header. You know, he's adjusted really well to the deflection. But yeah, I would have thought if you're a Wolves fan, you'd probably be a bit disappointed by that.
Yeah. If you're wondering why I stared down at my phone, Connie is going for 2-1 Leeds against Bournemouth. yeah, but I was really pleased to see Calvert-Lewin get a goal. I was also really pleased to see him giving that little bit back to the Wolves fans who'd been giving him a bit of abuse. Not yeah. many of them, because they weren't loud enough to be able to say the crowd were giving him abuse. A section of were. But I like that he's got that little bit of a... just that little bit to have a dig back. Did you listen to Bryn Lawr on the Square Ball yet this week?
I haven't yet.
It was quite interesting. Basically, I didn't get a chance to listen to I didn't listen to the interviews on the Leeds YouTube channel. And they were all a little bit chippy about this, we're not going to score enough goals stuff. Which I sort of like. No, have some confidence. Say, nah, you're all wrong, we'll be fine. I don't mind that. I mind that in April if we're already objectively right. But while it's still up in the air, yeah, defend your position. That's absolutely fine. The second goal is the one that people will really remember. Leeds sort of win the ball back well in midfield, break forward, pass into Calvert-Lewin, who gets shoulder charged in the middle of his spine, and the Wolves players go mental that it's shoulder to shoulder. That's not how that works. And Anton Stach hits, I mean, it's the correct term for this situation, a thunder bastard of a free kick into the top right-hand corner. Seeing as everyone's been calling him budget Declan Rice, him scoring, it's not as good at, it's not as good as the one that Declan Rice scored against Real Madrid, but it's a similar idea. It is his non-union German equivalent at this point.
It's kind of going back to the Wolves angle on this. When watching Match of the Day, I think it's Rooney and Danny Murphy are the two pundits, so I do take kind of their analysis a bit lightly. But they were quite critical of Jose Sarr and not dealing with this. And I know, kind of looking from sort of the point of view of the free kick, he does stand on the open side of it. But just looking at it, I think one, the power with which it's hit makes it difficult to react to it. And I still don't think he's got an entirely clear view of the ball for it.
Was it Ampadu does like a little, he stood basically on the exact line that the free kick is going and he moves at the last second, yeah, which obviously does not block his view. It very specifically doesn't because he gets out of the way. But it does mean there's something else moving in your eye line at the moment it comes. That is probably one of them where Leeds fans will be too much praising the free kick and not even looking at the goalkeeper. Because I didn't even think about it until it got mentioned. Whereas Wolves fans would be focused entirely on its keeper's side. And there is that bit that's always in there for me. And I think this whenever one goes in keeper's side, there is always a bit of me that goes, just don't, because Sarr does the thing where he gambles to the wall side, and nearly all goalkeepers do it. And then he gets beat that side. And there is always a bit of you that goes, if he puts it over the wall and puts it right in the top corner, just say fair fucks to you. Because if it's not in the corner, you've probably still got time to get there. If it's right in the corner, you might just have to say, all right, good free kick. But yeah, I just thought it was an absolute rocket of a free kick. It was brilliant to see. Is that our first direct one since Gruev?
Ian Hart in two.
Matt Heath, I think it was, from a corner.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember a scoring one last season.
Because I think that there was two in the playoff final season, obviously Gruev in the playoff semi, and that Dan James one that wasn't even Dan James, was it? Didn't he smack it in off Bamford against Leicester in the last minute? Yeah, and I think those are like the only two in the last couple of years. But yeah, it was great to see. And it just gives that... Now that once he's done it once, it's always there, and in teams' mind, it might make them a bit more hesitant to throw in a challenge 20 yards out.
It was also a really stupid challenge.
Oh, yeah, if a Leeds player had done it, you'd have been going mental, wouldn't you?
Yeah, just like you say, just a shoulder square in the back. I know he's facing goal, but even there, I didn't think there was an imminent threat.
No, there's players in front of him, isn't there? It's not like he's got a clear chance. And speaking of goals that you'd be fuming if it was your team that did it, the third goal, Agbadou gets it right centre back. I would say that Leeds press well, but Leeds are just sort of in position. They're not doing out special, and Agbadou just passes it to Stach. Stach reacts well. He does have to move a little bit to his left, breaks forward, well-weighted pass for Okafor, good finish on his left foot. And I'm much like with Calvert-Lewin, I'm really glad to see him get one fairly early. You don't want it to become a bit of an albatross around the neck at this point.
Yeah, and I think for all three of them to come from new players as well is quite nice. It was definitely needed, because now at least you can properly take away the haven't scored a goal from open play thing. Because I think that was also, you know, if we'd have won this 1-0 and it had been the Stach free kick, while that's great, you'd still be there going like, lads, just create something, will you?
Yeah, as happy as you'd be with 3 points, that would still be the major worry. And it still is, to be fair. I still don't think we're creative enough. But
or positive enough.
But if we keep defending like this and having this midfield be solid, you don't then need to score loads of goals. You just need a few.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting goal. I think looking now at the transfer business and kind of how quickly we looked at getting in Biol and Barnow, and I don't think we're looking at changing that back four anytime soon.
Not if they keep playing like this.
No, like Strath and Rowland.
I can say, based on everything you hear, Biol is, by all accounts, easily good enough to get in this side. But if Roden and Stroud keep playing like this, you're not going to change it.
No, and I mean, Goodmanson, I think, is, again, going early, is looking sort of the best of the lot so far, I think. You know, it's quite nice, to be honest, that you're looking at this situation and go, no, the defense, pretty much the defense we came up with is grand.
We've just got a more defensive, and I mean, it's not even like an out-and-out defensive left-back, but a more defensive left-back.
A more sensible left-back.
Yeah, a more sensible left-back.
A left-back that probably isn't going to pop up at 10.
Yeah, yeah. He will get forward, but not in the middle or on the right wing. or attacking across from the left, which did happen a few times. No, I thought Goodmanson was really good again. He had two really big moments where we got him behind down the left. The first one, I thought his choice of pass was really poor. I know that we should get more players in there, but he had time to look. The second one, he picked the right ball. The Wolves defender just got a touch to it. But just him getting in behind a couple of times. And the thing I really liked about the second one was that touch around the defender. That was really good. So I think there's more to come from him going forward, but he has been excellent so far. The second half, you can tell it was a little bit what we have, we hold, which is fair enough when you're 2 goals up. Wolves then had most of the game, most of the efforts on goal, but there weren't any actual like massive chances. Like the best one was probably that Minetsi one from the knockdown on edge of box, which Darlow dealt with pretty well. And then was the one that Darlow tipped over as well. There's not much though.
Yeah. I mean, I said to you at some point, I did clearly miss Strand Larsen coming on at half time.
Yeah.
He just didn't have anything to do in that second half.
You did say the actual, when did he come on? And it was 20 minutes into the half or something.
Yeah. Like I say, I can't say it goes so far as to say it was a fun second half to watch. It was, by that point, I think it was a very functional performance. But as you say, you've got 2-0 lead away from home against someone that's not creating big chances. So as you say, nothing daft. You know, play this sensibly. I think the downside for us was Bogle having to come off.
Yeah, that was, I've just checked, it was the 83rd minute. I mean, that is a big blow because, I mean, I reckon based on what I saw of the landing, because it seemed to be like a heavy landing. It seemed to be sort of the back studs, which generally speaking hurts more. To me, it had sort of broken bone in foot, broken toe written all over it. Even if it's just bruising, I wouldn't expect to play this weekend because it was a really heavy landing that.
Yeah, and I think the choice was made fairly quickly to, no, let's get him off. There's no sense risking this. James Justin comes on.
And I legitimately, for that 10 minutes, I don't remember anything James Justin did, which, given we were 3-1 up, is fine. That means he didn't have much to do and he didn't make any mistakes. This weekend, I'm just going to assume Bogle isn't fit for now. I assume that we both just think it is Justin comes in.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah, that was good. There's a couple of bits of main discourse after the game. The first one is Okafor actually good? Because, and Leeds fans hate when people give the ball away. I hate when central midfielders give the ball away. If a central midfielder gives the ball away all the time, I will end up hating them, even if they're good. But I think Okafor, I mean, before the game, I said I thought he'd be his most important player in this game because of the way they set up. And I think in the end, Stack probably was. And I think he was probably man at match. But I thought Okafor was very important to the way we played. And spoilers for when we talk about Bournemouth, I think their weakest spot is right back. So I think it'll be the same again next weekend.
Yeah, I think with someone like Okafor, it's kind of the risk-reward, you know, scale that you run with him, isn't it? That you accept that he's probably going to lose the ball more, but he will also create better chances for the times he does get past someone. And as opposed to, you know, on the other side where you have at the moment Brendan Aaronson, which is again very much in the this is a functional player to have in our team. We do need that creative player there. Much as I love Jack Harrison, again, Jack Harrison is very much a, if he gets past his man, he's going to the byline.
And hitting across into touch.
Spoons it out. You know, it's... And similar with Dan James, like when Dan James comes in, it's going to be a much more direct style with him. Nonto is probably the closest to what we have at the moment as, I think, someone who can go inside or out. But yeah, like I say, I think it is something we will have to learn to live with. And I do think the saving grace is you've got very good left back behind him.
Yeah, that does help. If Okafor was giving the ball away that much and they were running at Junior Firpo, as much as I love Junior Firpo, you would be more worried. But yeah, I think he's more than earned his spot in the team. He'll stay in now for a while, I reckon. I will say, just because you mentioned him, I thought Brendan Aaronson was pretty good overall. He still had a couple of those Aaronson moments where he took forever to make a decision and then just get ball away. And you do, every time he does it, it winds you up. But I thought he did pretty well in this game, to be fair. So I'm assuming he'll keep his place. Because James and Nonto may well be back available. Obviously, we're doing it early in the week than normal, so we don't know anything. But I would be surprised. I would think they both just come back onto the bench anyway.
Yeah. I mean, look, Daniel Farker loves Brendan Aaronson. You know, he I think fits perfectly Daniel Farker's more cautious nature at this level. It's basically his Josh Sargent, isn't it, of this team?
He loves an American that's somewhat German adjacent because of where they've been.
I mean, looking, it wasn't something I probably took much stock in, but I do think looking back now, most of what we did going forward did go down the left hand side against Wolves.
Yeah,
through
it
the
definitely
middle.
Did. And I think it's two, one Okafor, as we've said, but two, Stack was playing as the left of the three. And I think while ever the midfield set up like that, whichever wing, doesn't matter which wingers you put on, if we have Stack on the left and Tanaka isn't in that midfield to balance it out, whatever side Stack is on is the side we're going to build up on.
Yeah. And Aaronson had I think he ended up with a couple of chances, didn't he? Yeah. But nothing. Yeah, that shot from outside the area. I think there's one that deflects over. Yeah. And again, I don't mind that if everything's going down the left, that he's sort of coming inside and getting to the edge of the box there. On the ball, there is really not a lot I can remember of Brendan Aaronson's game.
Yeah, which means he probably did better than normal. Because you, as we have a, you know, if you do upgrade a player, you do have a bias against them going into the game. If he was giving it away loads, we'd both be remembering all the times he did it. And I remember one bad one, because I remember saying when we were watching the game, going, that's the thing that he does that winds everyone up. But that only happened once. The other main bit of discourse, and one that I disagree with, but it is everywhere, so it's worth mentioning. Darlow made another two or three good saves. Kicking was fine. Distribution was fine. There's a lot of talk that Perry should not get his players back. I disagree, but I can't. Darlow has been good enough, Chef Wednesday game aside, that I can't have a go at anything he's done. He's played well.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the issue is that Perry has been signed as your first choice goalkeeper and hasn't lost his place through performance. No. I mean, it's one of those things, I'd be okay with it, but I think the stuff that Darlow has done in these two games are things I would have backed Perry to do as well.
You'd probably just have a couple of scarier kicks.
but you do sort of also lose that bit of distribution with him being able to throw it
a million miles
for football length. I think he will come back in when he's ready, but if he decides to keep Darlow in, sure.
On the podcast we did before the Wolves game, I said that, like, 4 points from four games, this was the match that sort of decides whether we are having a good start or not. And with winning that, I think you can officially say, yeah, we have. 7 points from five games is an excellent start. And it puts Leeds to, like, the fifth favourites for relegation with the bookies. I don't necessarily... You know, that just picks my eyes light as a pessimist. But Burnley 2-5, Wolves 1-2, Sunderland 11-10, West Ham 11-8, Leeds 5-2, Brentford 3-1. They're like the main contenders. And then Forest at 6-1, because who knows what could happen there.
Well, I mean, I love that, because I'm just looking at Sunderland sitting seventh in the table, which I know, admittedly, it's all very close at the moment, so it can all change very quickly.
I saw Sunderland fans on Twitter getting a bit annoyed at how short their odds were. And I think that the reason is because they think, like Leeds fans, and they're like, no, I was hoping we'd be like 2-1 so I could have 20 quid on that.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the league table now. I think the most alarming one down there is Aston Villa.
Because you would expect them to get better.
I would assume they will be fine. But again, they've not. You know, their goal scoring has dropped off. Wolves, not at all shocked by. West Ham, not at all shocked by. Brentford on four. Burnley on four. Are kind of all expected to be round there anyway. And then, yeah, like you say, Forest is anyone's guess.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah, they genuinely, they could be sixth, they could be 19th. And none of that would shock me, because I have no idea what's going to happen now with Zidane. But no, we've definitely had a good start. You just have to, and the other reason it was such a big win is because I think the next two games are really difficult. And so we'll go on to Saturday, Bournemouth at home. I suppose the first thing is Andoni Iraola. Everyone thinks he's brilliant. I am no different. Casey?
The treacherous bastard.
Yeah, for not joining us.
Yeah, for looking at our situation and think, nah, it's probably not the best time to come in here. Yeah, he's one of those I'm very pleased for him because it didn't start well at Bournemouth.
Yeah, he did have a bit of a dodgy start, didn't he?
Yeah, they were struggling to begin with, but they've got the football embedded, and it's working well for them. And they've started this season quite well, given the turnover, especially in their back line. Johnny Howson went to Real Madrid, and then Kirkesh going to Liverpool, and I think they've lost.
Zabani went to PSG.
Yeah, so it's a fair bit of turnover there. And I didn't think they did a right lot to replace them. Now as it goes, again, early days, but it's got them fourth so far.
And they did bring in a couple one relatively early in the window, they were both sort of ready to go early. We just didn't break into the team straight away. Because they signed Bafodé Diakite to play centre-back. And he was like 30 million quid from Lille and then some add-ons. And he started most of the games. But they also, obviously, they lost Ilya Zabanye, who for years was an FM wonder kid. And they've replaced him with an 18-year-old from Red Star Belgrade for 13 million quid. Veljko Mijasavljevic. He played against Brighton and by all accounts was pretty good. I would think it'll be Diakite. The thing that's happened that I wasn't so much expecting is Marcus Senesi has just stepped up from being on the bench to being left centre-back. And by all accounts has been excellent all season. So it'll probably be Diakite and Senesi at the centre-back pairing. They've brought in Adrien Truffert to replace Miros Kerkez. Again, been pretty good. But right-back was probably their weakest spot last season, because they had James Hill play there occasionally, but he wasn't ready. And then they had Max Ahrens and Adam Smith. Max Ahrens has gone to Rangers and by all accounts stunk up the joint. They've still got Adam Smith and then still James Hill. And they've signed Alex Jimenez, who's a young Mexican right-back from AC Milan, who I know literally nothing about. So again, looking at their defence, that I would expect us to do everything down the left again, basically, because that looks like the best place to get at them. I do think, from what I've seen, I don't know enough about Diakite to comment. I do think Calvert-Lewin would be able to best Senesi physically, so that will probably help if we are able to get the ball into the box and get the ball forward a bit quicker, because I think we'll have to, because Bournemouth, if we don't get the ball forward quickly, I think Bournemouth will just press us into losing the ball over time.
Yeah. I think when you watch them, one, again, another very well organised team. And like I say, I think it's the fact that players like Senesi have just been able to step straight into this and, you know, they've picked up as if nothing's changed in their back line. I'm amazed looking at that. I was just looking through their transfers there because they sort of generated over 200 million in sales this summer. Just looking at who kind of they've sold. I mean, I don't think any of us saw shown here, 42 and a half million for Dango.
Yeah, I genuinely forgot that had happened because he went to Brentford, didn't he?
Yeah. You know, I think they've had a bit of a spring cleaning.
Yeah, because Sinisterra went to Brazil, didn't he? I think it's a loan with either an option or a obligation, one of the two.
Yeah, he's gone to Cruzeiro. Just looking through, yeah. God, they've got a big squad. Yeah. Or did. But yeah, they've started really well. What is it? Three wins, a draw, and a defeat. And the defeat was on the opening day to Liverpool.
Yeah, did you watch that game? They were good.
They looked absolutely fantastic.
And the other thing is, they're not conceding many goals. Because, yeah, they've conceded four to Liverpool. But in a game where they were really good, and Liverpool have just got such good players, that can happen. A bit like us with Arsenal. But 1-0 win over Wolves, 1-0 win at Spurs, drew 0-0 with Newcastle in the last game, and they beat Brighton 2-1. So, yeah. A bit like us, you take that one game out, they're not conceding many, but they're just such a good side. And as much as it feels weird to say this about little tiny League One Bournemouth, like, they're just a really good team, and if you offered me a point against them even at home, I'd absolutely snap your hand off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking through here as well. One, this will be the first time we've come up against Tyler Adams as well,
yeah.
since his very reasonable departure.
Yeah, but he didn't threaten to sue us or anything.
I'm going to see him and Brendan Aaronson joking about together, aren't I? And I'm going to be absolutely furious.
Yeah. it'll be Adams in midfield with Alex Scott, almost certain. Lewis Cook appears to just be a backup now, which is a shame because I like him. But yeah, Tyler Adams, you know what you're going to get about him. He is their most actual defensive midfielder who will hold. Because it's a 4-2-3-1, but it depends how aggressive we go. Because if we sit back, Alex Scott will push up and Adams will play defensive by himself. He's a good midfield. Because as much as Tyler Adams pissed me off with the way he left and stuff like that, in that relegation team, he was the one before that all kicked off that we were most sort of okay with, given his performances. Now, whether that was because he was all action, and if you're next to Matt Locker and you're all action, you look even more all action.
And he's a bit of a wind-up merchant, yeah, as well. He had a touch of the clicks about him. I mean, it's worth it, and I think we did say this at the time, but there was also the consideration that he got a big injury and we got much worse.
Yeah, I mean, that did objectively happen. And then he went to Bournemouth and got a big injury, and they didn't, because they've got like proper coaching and stuff, which we didn't have.
Yeah, I mean, just looking through their team, they've kind of had your main core of players that have started every game so far: Tavernier, Adams, Evan Ilson, Scott, Brooks, Senesi. Yeah,
I was surprised. I was surprised when I looked that David Brooks has been playing week in, week out, and Justin Kluivert's been on the bench. I like David Brooks, but I didn't expect that.
Yeah, Kluivert got
a lot of goals last season.
Goals over the last couple of years. Yeah,
I don't know how many, but
did he get a couple of hat tricks last season?
He definitely got at least one.
He got himself 12 goals last season in 34 appearances. So, yeah, like I say, it is a bit surprising, but I never know at this point which is the good Tavernier.
This is Marcus. This is winger /10. James, his brother, is Rangers Tavernier. And I believe they're both from Leeds.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, I mean, Tavernier's a good player, Brooks is, Kluivert is, but the Evan Ilson up top, good player, but the one I'm most scared of is Semenya. He's fucking brilliant. God, it's not just that, you know, he runs at people well, he gets into good positions, he holds people off well. It's his shot. He just, when he hits a ball, he nails it nearly every time. And just that level of ball striking, it means that if he gets two half chances, there's a decent chance he's going to take one of them. And he's a difference maker of a footballer.
Yeah, he's already 3 goals in the first 5 this season.
But
he got
2 at Anfield, didn't he, on opening day?
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, they are a good team. They play nice football. It's sadly, it's sort of looking, it's like the Black Mirror, isn't it? It's looking at what we could have had.
Well, those tweets from the time go round all the time, don't they? Oh, here's the 3 favourites for the job. And it was Arne Slot, Iriola and Nuno. the only other one I would mention, and it's not because of anything I've actually seen, it's just because Bournemouth so often feel like they're playing Football Manager. And their backup striker is Eli Krupe, who they got from Lorient, who on FM24 is an absolute world beater. They signed him in January, loaned him back to Lorient, and he got 13 in 13. And he is now coming off the bench and we're actually giving him a shot. He's still only 19. But I don't think he's got a goal yet. And just the number of times he scored against me on Football Manager, he worries me.
Yeah. They're going through that purple patch that a few teams do of when your recruitment just lands, you know, the majority of the time. You know, you've seen it a few times, kind of the... I know we referenced it before, but it's that period Southampton and Leicester went through when they just found the good player, Brighton. Bournemouth are kind of in that period at the moment where they're just having so much success with these fines.
Well, if they sign someone for 15 million, you're just counting down to their 50 million move.
Yeah. So yeah, it's suppose this is it's when you're watching well-run clubs at times.
Yeah, but we shouldn't forget that the only reason why they got up from the bottom of the league is because they got a load of dodgy money in.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. That's
it's so long ago that it really isn't relevant anymore. But it did happen. Other than Justin for Bogle, do you foresee any changes? Unless Perry's fit, and then I think Perry will come in for Darlow. But I've no idea how far off he is.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I kind of look at the what have we got in a couple of weeks. We've got
Bournemouth and Spurs the next two Saturdays, both at Elm Road.
I think the team, barring injuries, pretty much as you say, stays the same for those two, and then potentially against Burnley and West Ham, you may be looking at Tanaka coming back in.
One of James or Nonto. So you've got maybe Nonto on the right would be nice. So you've got that bit more actual technical ability out wide on the right for those games.
I'd like to think you'd make that change. I really would. But I don't think you would.
Fair enough. You're probably right.
he has built his faith in Brendan Aaronson. He will be in the team somewhere. But yeah, I think for this and I think for the Spurs game, barring injuries, I think the team pretty much stays the same now.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. No one got anything bang on against Wolves, but you had a 2-0 win and Connie had a 2-0 win and Benny had a 1-0 win. So you all got 2 points. For this one, I just think they're really good. So I've gone 2-1 to Bournemouth.
I'm going to go 1-1.
You're in good company with that because Alex and Benny have both gone 1-1. Little Danny's gone for 2-2. And Connie, as always, he is always the optimist. He's gone for a 2-1 win. I don't think this is like an if we were away, I wouldn't have any. I would just be not. I wouldn't go as far as saying writing it off, like if it's Man City away or Liverpool away. But away, I wouldn't really give us anything. At Elland Road, you've always got a chance. So although I think they'll win this, just because I think they're a really good side, who are really well coached with really good players, it's definitely something that we can get something from. But if I, as I said earlier, I would snap your hand off for a point right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you got a point from this, it takes a lot of pressure off the Spurs game.
Because we're already at over a point, but even though it's massively early days, it's too early to really worry about it. While ever we're better than a point a game, like we're in a good position.
Yeah. Like I say, if we got a point from this, lost to Spurs, yeah, 8 points from 7 games.
Yeah. Like I've just had a look. These are Bet365 prices. Leeds 2-1, draw 9-4, Bournemouth 27-20. Like, that's one where, yeah, Bournemouth favours, but giving us a decent chance. And that's where I think we are. I think Bournemouth will win, but start well. Nothing silly early on, and you've got a chance.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think if we can, let's say, if we can counter-attack like I think we did a few times on Saturday, like I said, I'd like to think we'd be able to create a few chances. And I think the one thing that's quite nice to know is that we are now in a position where we can put balls in the box and someone's going to attack it, that we don't have to. Whereas last season, we didn't need to just put balls in the box. We just, Jaden Bogle just got to the byline, beat two people and squared it across the six-yard box for any one of five players.
Usually Junior Firpo.
Yeah, usually Junior Firpo. Whereas now, like, I think that was the nice thing about the Calvert-Lewin goal is just kind of going, oh, we can just put a cross in the box and we have someone there who can compete for that sort of thing.
Obviously, I said earlier, Okafor versus whoever they play at right back, I think that's probably his best chance of getting into those sorts of areas. When I think about it, the other thing is, I do think our midfield three versus theirs, that's definitely winnable. Because if they go with Marcus Tavernier at 10, I'd back Ampadu against him. As much as he's a good player. And then Adams and Scott versus like Longstaff and Stack. That is winnable. It won't be easy, but that's, so it's, if we can manage to put in a really good mid, if the midfield three plays well, with a decent chance of getting something there as well. And if you can get on top in midfield, even if you can only get on top in midfield for 20 minutes, half an hour, that should in theory open the game enough to give you a few chances.
Yeah, I think so. And as well, I have the confidence in us to defend well enough as well to limit their chances.
Yeah, cool. Well, because we're early and there's no press conference and stuff, there might be news that renders some of that wrong, but we'll worry about that later. Yeah, I did add the predictions to the sheet. Anything else that we need to go through, Casey?
Nothing.
We're cool, good. Nice one. Well, we will be back after the Bournemouth game. Hopefully we've got something to take out of it, something to celebrate. But until then, I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey, have a good one.